Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now those days are gone, I've got so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the door.
All right. Who needs relationship advice? Who doesn't need relationship advice? Your peers are giving it out for free, and so are you. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Let's start with Nancy in the East Village and Rad in Brooklyn. I think we've got them both up. Nancy, are you there?
Hi. Good morning.
And Rad?
Hi. Good morning.
Okay. Rad, you get to ask your question first.
Okay, I am in a relationship, a beginning of a relationship that where I've, you know, learned that this person, she in her past relationship has cheated on her partner. And I'm just wondering, you know, part of me feels like, well, she feels really bad. She says she's never going to do it again. But the other part of me is like, is it true when they say once a cheater, always a cheater? So I'm really scared. I'm a little apprehensive about continuing on with the relationship. And I don't know if I should just trust her or if I should go along with that saying, once a cheater, always a cheater.
So, Nancy, what do you think? Should Rad break up because the person she's getting involved with has cheated in the past?
No, I don't think so. I think she has to listen to what she's saying. She knows that she did something that has kept her from having fulfilled relationships, and she is trying to change. It is hard to change, but if you support somebody, and when problems come up, talk about it. If there seems to be an issue, instead, her pattern may be that she can't confront problems, but if you have an open forum with each other based on trust, she should be able to come to you and talk about it, and because that's the reason for cheating. It's usually trying to find a way out of intimacy, and I think it's really based on how willing you are to be intimate with her. It depends on how long you've been together and what your goals are. Do you have a goal for, you know, to have a one-to-one intimate relationship that goes on through perpetuity, or is this just, if that's the goal, then you really need to sit down and make a plan of total trust, to be totally trusting.
Right.
And work from there. And if you need a therapist or a neutral person, it's worth it, because there aren't that many people you meet that move you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Rad.
Yeah.
She
does really move me. She's amazing in every single other way. And she feels really bad about her past. And she feels like she's done a lot of work on it. So it's just a matter of, I'm just apprehensive about it. But thank you. That's very helpful.
Red,
well, you'd also want to work on your own sense of self and what it means to you, that you know that if something like this were to happen, it's not necessarily, usually it's not about you. It's their issue. So can you look at yourself and say, I'll be okay regardless. I'm not a glass that's going to shatter.
Wow.
And once you feel that strongly about yourself, You can do it with her, and it sounds like she really wants to.
Rad, good luck.
Thank you.
And we're going to let Rad go. Nancy, are you a therapist?
No, I'm a bit of a psychic, though.
Yeah, you sounded pretty good at that. Okay, so Rad's gone. Rad, good luck. And Lynn in Manhattan is also on now with Nancy in the East Village. Lynn, are you there?
Hi.
So Nancy, who just gave advice, gets to ask you for advice now. Nancy, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's interesting the song Help is on, because I've been working on a project about one of the Beatles, and the person I started with the project, we're no longer together as a relationship, but he's a brilliant editor. I need his help now because I need to get this project done, and I've been working with someone who's technically not able to do it. So I asked him to come on and help, and he was very... oh, yeah, sure, just blah, blah, blah. And then I called him today, and he lives in England, and it's as if the old person is there. Someone said to him, don't get reinvolved, don't help this person. We were together a long time. He's shutting down. He's being cold. I feel as if he's taking an attitude, which is really destructive to my self-esteem, and I don't know whether I can trust him to do what he says he's going to do, or I should just, you know, not go back to the same watering hole.
Oh, okay. Nancy, you should not go back to the same watering hole. I think that you guys probably need distance. I mean, obviously you have it geographically, but it sounds like he's just, his first response is yes, because he always wants to help you. But maybe you should just find someone else to do the project. And ask yourself, do you really want him to help you with this project, or are you really trying to, you know, maybe reignite something?
Ooh.
Because it's hard to let go. You know.
Yes, you're right. I don't want to reignite, especially after our last phone call. But he started the project with me. I feel he has a karmic responsibility to it, to finish it. And he can do it. He can do it, and I don't have anyone else to do it. And I've been looking for a long time. But I do hear you, because I don't want to be toyed with at this point.
Lynn says, find another editor. There's more than one editor in the sea.
Yes, okay.
Nancy, thank you, and good
thank
luck.
You.
All
thank
right.
You. Bye.
Lynn, you have dispensed advice, which
okay.
gives you the privilege of asking Thomas in South Orange for some advice for yourself. Thomas, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Meet Lynn in Manhattan.
Hi, Thomas. My problem is a little bit more primitive, unfortunately. My recent boyfriend of about 2.5 months insists that when we're out to dinner that he sits with his back to the wall, okay, which is totally against everything that I've ever learned or known.
Yes.
And he also insists that if he invites me out to dinner, then he gets to decide where we go. And I don't know, I just moved here from the West Coast, so is this a East Coast thing? Is it a, you know, macho thing? I have no idea. Is it a cultural thing? Because it's driving me crazy.
It's about sitting with his back to the wall.
Yeah, as if he's Al Capone. I actually asked him that. I'm like, what are you afraid of? We're in freaking Ollie's restaurant. You know what I mean? Who's going to come and take you out? I don't understand. He just likes to look outward. And I've tried to tell him that the woman is supposed to, you're supposed to show me off, right?
Paul, any advice? I mean, Thomas, any advice?
Yeah, you know, for some people that could just be like a quirk, just a preference for themselves. But in your case, I would actually just be more assertive and say, hey, what's going on here? Why are you sitting with your back to the wall, you know?
Sounds like you've done that part, Lynn.
Yeah, I've done that, and it did not end well.
So what's the question?
I mean, how do I handle it? I need to resolve it. How do I get him
You need to
see
get, it's how do I get him to actually change this? Is that your question?
Exactly. To respect some social norms. Isn't this a social norm? I mean, you guys, do you allow your partners, your spouses to sit looking outward? Not allow, but isn't that the norm?
It's not a question I've ever thought about, honestly.
Yeah.
Thomas, what about you?
I'm not quite sure if it's a social norm. Where do you say it's from?
From Manhattan, Queens.
Oh, but you said from the West Coast, right?
I'm from the West Coast.
Where everything faces the other way. Maybe that's the problem.
What? God, I hope not. Then I'm in trouble.
Then you're in trouble on more levels than that. Or maybe you just need to get over it and let him sit with his back against the wall, and so what?
But allow me to face the wall? What am I looking at?
Him, hopefully.
I think I need a woman's advice.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
All right. So, Tom, maybe we'll next woman caller up, maybe we'll get to throw a second question to her. Thomas, you don't have anything else for Lynn, right?
No, I don't have anything else.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So, Lynn, also, we refer you to our chat room and talking now to everybody else who is in the chat room. We've got an interesting one here, not easily advised. And so, call or go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. As Lynn is gone from the air now, but maybe you can give Lynn some advice about this boyfriend who always wants to sit against the wall in the restaurant and makes her face the wall. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and give Lynn some advice. Meanwhile, Thomas, for trying anyway, gets to ask an advice question of Paul in Rockland. Paul, you there?
Yes.
Hi, you're on
Hi,
with Thomas
how are you doing,
in South Orange. Thomas, go ahead.
Hey,
man. So I have this daughter. She's about six. She's turning six in October. And she's really invested with the Disney stuff. And I was wondering, she's like really involved in that. She spends a lot of time into that. And I feel kind of, neglected kind of. It's kind of weird because I feel like, if anything, which is awful to say, that I would be the one neglecting her. Forget that. But is there any way that I could perhaps bond with her over it?
So to understand this, then you're saying that your daughter is kind of more attached to her Disney stuff than to you in a way.
Well put, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. Other than kind of maybe sharing that with her in, like, say, a destination like, you know, Disney or something like that, where it's kind of like a family thing, or watching a movie with her or something like that, you would probably identify with her. But that's probably one of those stages that kids go through, and, you know, you're going to be with that. But that said, I don't have kids, so easier for me to say, you know.
You don't have kids. Yeah, I would say, as a father, if you're going to feel jealous of your kids' relationship with their stuff, you have a tough life ahead of you. If you want your kids to always be looking at you with, God, I appreciate you so much, parent, you have a tough life ahead of you.
Yeah, right.
So you might adjust the expectations a little more, if I understand it correctly. And I think Paul's Paul's ideas there are great. Take her to Disney World. Watch a Disney film with her.
Okay.
So, all right, Thomas, hopefully that helped. And good luck to you. And Paul in Rockland, you get to ask an advice question now of Ian in Brooklyn. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how's it going? I'm not actually in a relationship.
Wait. Paul, hang on, Ian. First, you have to give advice. That's the price of admission.
I have to give advice to
You're going to give advice to Paul, who's going to ask you his question right now.
Okay.
Paul, go ahead.
Paul, afternoon to you. Ian, sorry. So I have a pretty complex problem. Married, we've been together a long time, and my wife has supported her parents, you know, with me knowing about it, without me knowing about it for a while, and that's all well and fine, and it was under, like, the guise of another debt till you find out that really they had other financial problems going on. So that goes on for a while, like several years on that. And then she has a sibling who decides to return to school. Her sibling goes to school, moves in, and it doesn't work out. She's just not acting as a guest, and for sure more as a half a wife than a guest. So it doesn't work out. She moves out. Now my wife is paying for the parents still, and for now she's paying rent for the daughter, for the sister, and the sister, to even further complicate it, has a place in another city, her home city, and she's supporting that rent too. Mm. So she has the parents who, you know.
So the question is, should you actually break up with your wife to get out from under all the financial obligations that she's saddling you with for her relatives?
Yeah, and the crux of it is, other than that, is there's two main issues. She has shopping issues. She's always had them. She's accumulated, like, a lot of debt. Let's say it's much greater than $50,000, has not really addressed it, you know, in a responsible way. And the debt is still, it's larger than it was since we've been together. And so here she is now taking on further financial assistance to her to her sister, and her parents are continuously on the take, and, you know, they live beyond their means.
This
and,
is a thicket. Ian, you didn't know what you were getting yourself into when you called this radio show.
Sorry,
right?
Ian,
any advice?
My first question would be, have you talked and expressed this to her directly already?
It's been an ongoing, you know, issue. Of course it comes up, and then finances come up inevitably in relationships. So do you really
Right. I mean, that's really tricky, I think, especially because, you know, it's not your wallet, it's her wallet, and that really should be, you know, her weight, but it's obviously affecting your relationship. So that's, I don't think there's an easy answer to it, but to maybe kind of try to talk more about it, but I don't, it'd be tough for me to give you a simple simple answer for that.
It affects the household, like, contribution, like, where I pull all the weight on that, and, you know, I'll get her side of the contribution, and it's can you hold the check? And that adds up, and that has added up over years, and I'm pretty loose about that stuff, and then all of a sudden it adds up, and, you know, you're looking at, oh, gee, you're PO'd because you got, you know, she's $7,000 short.
Could you say to your wife, I love you, I want to stay with you, but this is the amount of money that I'm willing to devote to your relatives if they're not really, really desperately in need?
Right. And the parents aren't, and the sister is...
I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But,
so.
All right. I don't know how much either of us helped you, but it is a complicated one. Paul,
yeah, it's a complicated
you might
one.
Join Lynn, who called about her boyfriend in the back-to-the-wall kerfuffle. She's in our chat room right now with some of the other listeners. Maybe you want to go there, too. Paul, thank you very much. And Ian, you get the last question. Advice question, and as we're going to end the segment after this, we're not going to take another caller. I will listen to your advice question, help you if I can, and refer you to the hordes of well-meaning advice givers in our chat room at WNYC.org. What's your question?
Okay. I guess mine's not as serious, but I came out of a relationship, and I'm currently, you know, I'm not in a relationship right now, but I've been every once in a while encountering this woman that I'm interested at this coffee shop, and she, you know, we hit it off every time, and, you know, I even got her number, but there's this certain kind of ambivalence, especially when you come out of a relationship, that, you know, you start going through self-doubt, and then, you know, I did the texting thing, but it became a little bit disconnected.
Texting,
and
you mean
texting,
like,
can
chatting?
Be cryptic, and I think maybe texting might be the issue, that I can't get a good read on it because I've been...
What is it that you want to know? You want to know how interested in you she is?
Yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, I think I already know the answer, but I don't know.
I don't know the answer, so maybe three words of advice would be ask her out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's it.
That's it, man. Ask her out, and she'll say yes or she'll say no, and then if you go out, then you'll know if you, you know, have enough to go out a second time. And
the thing is, she wants to go out, but it's never kind of come to fruition for various reasons. You know, every time I come in, she's not there. Then I text her, and it doesn't work out. So that's why this kind of self-doubt is happening, where it's like, does she really have plans, or is she avoiding it? I don't know. So.
Right. Yeah. Probably if you ask her to some very specific things and with some wiggle room and how to connect, and she's always got a conflict – then she's telling you something.
Yeah, absolutely.
But try one more time. Be really direct.
Yes.
All right, Ian? Good luck. And thanks to all of you who called.